Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to invite your attention this morning to the book of Titus, chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, if you would like to read along with me, I'm going to read verses 5 to 7. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now, I would like to set something forth to you to consider today. And give great consideration to this, because most people don't. This is not something that, when it comes to religion and when it comes to salvation, this is not something that men and women naturally consider that often. They do not put much thought into this. And I pray that the Lord will cause this to be very clear and very to the point, because this is critical. This is critical. Our lives depend on this. Our eternal lives, once we leave this physical world and enter into the presence of the judgment throne of God, our eternal lives depend on knowing this right here, believing this right here, having all of this revealed to us. Everyone can't be right. Let's just think about that for just a minute. Everyone can't be right. You know, and I know, how different religions are, how different denominations are. There's one God, but people have many gods. There's one way, but people have many ways. And the thing that I want to make very clear this morning, the thing that I want us to see in the Word, is everyone can't be right. Everyone has a way that he or she is clinging to. There is a way that man thinks is right. But if it's not God's way, it's destruction. And everyone cannot be right. So what that means is everyone can't be all right. People think, well, he's all right, she's all right, he believes something, he has some kind of faith, he has some kind of religion, he's all right. Well, if everyone is not right, then everyone is not all right. When it comes to eternity, when it comes to salvation, there's one way. There's only one way. Now, I'm going to give you a little illustration here of this religious thinking, and hopefully this will make a lot of sense. If you could picture three people standing here, and one person over here makes this statement, and he says, 1 + 1 = 1. All right, that's what this guy says. 1 + 1 = 1. And then you have a man right here standing and saying, no, 1 + 1 = 2. And then you have a man over here saying, no, 1 + 1 = 3. All three of them are saying, no, 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 your way's different from my way. Well, here's the fact of the matter. They're not all right. All of them are not right. This man's saying this and believing this and telling everybody this, and he's convinced of it. He's sincere about it. 1 + 1 = 1. And this guy's saying 1 + 1 = 3. But they're not all right. Here's the truth of the matter. When it comes to our illustration, let me declare the truth to you. 1 + 1 = 2. That's the truth. There's one answer. There's only one answer, and it's this. Man can say what he wants to say, but when you get to the fact of the book, 1 + 1 = 2. All right, now, picture this one over here saying, well, now I think that's just too narrow-minded. You saying that 1 + 1 = 2, and it can only equal 2, and that's the only truth that there is. That's just too narrow-minded. The other one says, I think that's too dogmatic. No, you're just being too dogmatic. You can't be so emphatic and say this is the only answer. You can't do that. That's just too dogmatic. This guy's saying what you're doing is you're stifling 1 + 1's growth. I just believe in my heart that if 1 + 1 works hard enough, if he puts in the effort and he puts his heart into it, he can attain 3. I believe 1 + 1 can attain 3 if he tries hard enough. Well, that may be. This person may believe that, and that person may believe that. But here's the reality. There's only one answer. There's only one solution. Everybody can't be right. Do we see that? Everybody can't be right. When there is a truth to the issue, everybody can't be right. Now, some people are going to listen to this right now and say, as I'm speaking this, some people are going to say, all right, well, let me ask, you think you're right. All right, Gabe, I'm listening to you tell me this, and you're saying everybody can't be right, so you must think you're right. Here's my response to that. No, I don't. No, I do not. I most certainly do not. This word, this Bible that I have right here in front of me, this word is right. The word is right. Only the word is right. I'm going to be very honest with you. I have had thoughts of things. I have believed things. I've felt strongly about things. And then found out later on that the Word said otherwise. God revealed the truth to me through the Word. At that moment, I only had one option. Every time that moment comes to us, you and I only have one option. If God reveals a truth to you in His Word, and if God reveals a truth to me in His Word, we only have one option at that point. We must change what we think and change what we believe about the situation. We must bow to, we must hold to and believe and cling to and claim what God has to say about it. Only God is right. That changed mind is called repentance. That's what it's called. It means, the word repentance means a changed mind. It's the goodness of God that leads His people to repentance, this changed mind. It's a work that God does. He is the only one who gives repentance. Men and women do not and they cannot change their mind about religion, what they believe and what they see. And it's because they're blind to the Word of God, naturally. Deaf to the Word of God and the mind of God. They cannot know the things of God. That's what the Scripture says. The natural, the carnal mind cannot know the things of God. So it's only the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. And all of God's people are led to it. All of them will be led to it. All of them. The flesh of man, it starts out wrong. It starts out in error. A lot of people don't realize that. They think that the flesh starts out right and you stay right until you mess up and lose it along the way. That's not how it works. The flesh starts out wrong. David said, I was conceived in sin. He said, I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. But man is convinced that he knows the truth. He's in error, But he's convinced he knows the truth. He's very sincere about it, but he's sincerely wrong. That's the only problem. He's sincerely wrong. Until God reveals this, and this is what the Word of God says. God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." The way man thinks about it. He said, "My ways are not your ways." Not at all. Only his ways are right, and only his thoughts are right. What that means is, what we conclude from that is, I must be wrong. If only his ways are right and only his thoughts are right, I must be wrong. I must be. Once God reveals that to his sinful child, this is what the child starts crying. Teach me thy way. If my way is wrong and error and death, if there's a way that seems right to me but it's going to lead me to destruction and death, teach me thy way. That's what the prophet said. David said constantly through the Psalms, teach me your way. Let me not walk in my own ways. Lead me in your paths. Open my eyes that I may see. The scripture says, let God be true and let every man be a liar, including me, starting with me. That's what a child of God will start crying whenever God opens his eyes to see the truth. Now, every human being, no matter what denomination, what doctrine, what religious position anyone holds, every human being is going to find out that everybody's not right. Every soul is going to find that out. Every soul is going to find out that only God's Word is right. Conversion, evidence of salvation, is God revealing that to a sinner right now on this earth through the preaching of the gospel. The gospel coming to a sinner, God quickening that sinner to see it, hear it, believe it, bow to the fact that only God's Word is right. Damnation is finding that out at the judgment throne. After God calls a sinner from this earth and he goes and stands before the judgment throne, when he finds out for the very first time, I was wrong and God was right, that's damnation. So hopefully we will see right now how critical this is. Hopefully God will open our eyes to this, open our ears to this. I don't want to align myself with a doctrine. This is important. I want you to understand this, and I pray the Lord would cause you to say the same thing. I don't want to align myself with a doctrine. Doctrines don't save people. I don't want to align myself with a denomination. Denominations don't save people. I don't want to align myself with a man. I don't want to cling to a man and say, well, I'm just trusting whatever that man tells me. Men don't save people. Mortal, fleshly men do not save people. I want to align myself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to align myself. I want to bow to, I want to believe the only way that he has declared in his word to be right. That's my heart's desire. I pray it's your heart's desire too. Now, with all of that being said, concerning salvation, concerning what God says is right, concerning what God will accept and will reject, concerning the truth about what we ought to believe, regarding God's dealings with us and our relationship with him, and the only way that a sinner can be justified before him and be accepted to stand in his presence. I have a few statements from the three verses that we read that all of us must heavily consider. All right, let's heavily consider these. And the reason is because everybody can't be right. Everybody can't be right. God says there is only one way of salvation. All right? One way. He said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. He said, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what he said. No man or woman will be saved outside of his way. So here are a few statements to consider concerning the truth of our salvation. Number one, it's either his righteousness or it's mine. All right, now let's think about that. It's either his righteousness or it's mine. It's one or the other. It most definitely is not both. All right, righteousness means being right. That's what it means, being right. It means rightness. It means integrity. It means virtue. It means purity. It means moral goodness. It's either his or mine when it comes to salvation, when it comes to being accepted, to stand in the presence of God. It's either his or it's mine. Now, which one is it? Look with me in our text, Titus 3, verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. That's clear enough, isn't it? Not by works of righteousness which we have done. People all over this world are trying to go before God on the merits of their own goodness, their own integrity, their own virtue, their own purity, thinking God will accept me because of my rightness. What will allow you to go to heaven? It's going to be my rightness. That's what men and women think. Having no idea that the Word of God says all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags in His sight. All of them. All of them. People have it in their mind that when it's their turn to go meet God, He's going to look at them and He's going to be so proud of them and He's going to be so proud of everything that they've done. He's going to be so proud of how they've given their life to Jesus, so they say. They're going to be so proud of people love to, you know, all talk about the good Lord and this kind of stuff. And just proud of that, proud of that. And they're going to get there and they're going to find out, I was wrong. I was wrong. I thought He was going to be pleased with my self-righteousness, but I was wrong. There's only one righteousness to go meet God with, and it's not ours. Matthew 7, He said, many are going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, and they're not going to enter into the kingdom. Over in Romans 10, this is a portion of Scripture that's so clear. Romans 10, verse 1, it says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I want to be saved, and I want you to be saved. I truly do. That's the reason I'm preaching this word to both of us right now. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. We plead His rightness. We plead His integrity, His virtue, His purity. That's good news, isn't it? That means you can stop looking to yourself for perfection and start looking to Christ. We plead His moral goodness. We plead everything He has done. When you look at what you and I have done, oh, it's not a pretty sight. Look at what He has done. He is our righteousness. Our righteousness is in Him. All right, back in Titus 3, the next statement concerning our salvation is, it's either His initiation or it's mine. What that means is it was either His decision or it was my decision. Either He started it or I did. One of the two. What does God have to say about it? Well, verse 5, Titus 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. He started the work. He began, the Scripture says, the good work. He authored it, the Scripture says. In John 5, verse 40, He said, you will not come to Me that you might have life. That's what we will do, not come to Him. In John 6, 44, He said, no man can come to Me except the Father which has sent Me draw him. No man can. No man will. No man can. In John 15, verse 16, He said, you have not chosen Me. I have chosen you. Men stand up in pulpits and they lie to people, saying, now salvation is in your hands. What are you going to do with it? That's the question. Are you going to cause yourself to be saved? Are you going to make your choice for Jesus? Any soul who goes to meet God on any other grounds than salvation is of the Lord, completely of the Lord. It's His initiation. It's His decision. Any soul that goes on any other ground is going to realize, I was wrong. I was wrong. He will not accept the sacrifices of my own hands, my decisions, anything I do. I was wrong. So wrong. All right, here's the next thing we need to consider regarding salvation. It's either His cleansing or it's mine. It's either His washing or mine. Either His blood has cleansed me or I have some cleansing I need to do. One of the two. Which one is it? Well, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. When He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, for the sin of His particular people, that's who He shed it for. When He did that, He cried, it is finished. It is finished. It's finished. It's finished. What was finished? The cleansing of sin. The washing of His people. Unto Him that loved us and washed us in His own blood. It says, which He shed on us abundantly. That means the washing went deeper than the stain. Deeper than the stain of sin. And along with His blood, He poured out His Spirit to His people, giving that renewing of life. Giving life again. He left nothing undone for His people to finish. Nothing. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He names all of these great sins that people will not enter for. Verse 11, He said, and such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Men stand up in pulpits and say, now you got to progress in sanctification. You've got to grow in holiness. Not according to the Word of God. In Christ, you are as sanctified as you're ever going to be. That means you are as holy as you're ever going to be. You are complete in Him. Complete. Now back to Titus 3. All of this comes at either His cost or mine. It's either His free gift to me or it's something I earn. Which one does God say it is? Verse 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace. That means free gift. Free gift. Men stand up in pulpits and say, now you better earn what's coming to you. That's not so. Grace means free gift. If it's free, it's free. Verse 7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's either His righteousness or mine, and it's His. It's either His initiation or mine, and it's His. It's either His cleansing or mine, and it's His. And it either comes at His cost or mine, and it's His. And one last thing to consider is it's either His glory or mine. Either He gets all the glory for it, or I get all the glory for it, or I share the glory with Him. And here's the answer. Here's the only thing that's right. He gets all the glory for it. It's all His. Everything belongs to Him. A man named John Jasper was asked one time, an old preacher, he was asked by someone else. He said, Brother John, when you get to heaven, if they meet you at the gate and ask you, what right do you have to enter in? What are you going to say? He said, here's what I say. I have no right to enter in. But I'm not here on my right. I'm here on the right of another. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Any soul who enters that way will hear, welcome in. Welcome in. That's the only way to approach God. That's the only truth of salvation. Only way that's right. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.